This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hi, everybody. Cheryl from Unleashed. And today we have a great guest, Jacob Shaw from PETA.org. He's the manager of strategic interactions, is that?
Strategic initiatives.
Okay, I can't say that fast. And today we're going to talk about certain breeds that have very, very hard health issues. And there are quite a number of these dogs that come to our park. And it's heartbreaking because it's very, very expensive when they do get ill.
Exactly. And it really is heartbreaking because not too long ago, it just would have been completely unthinkable to intentionally breed dogs to have physical features that cause them to suffer just for the sake of their looks. But that's exactly what we've seen happen with these breeding impaired dogs. And when we say breeding impaired dogs, we're referring to French bulldogs, English bulldogs, pugs, shih tzus, and Boston terriers. These dogs are now the most popular dogs in the country, and they spend their entire lives panting, wheezing, and gasping for air. So one of the many reasons I'm really looking forward to talking to you about this is everyone just has to know that the solution to this problem is so simple. We can protect these dogs from suffering if all of us vow to never buy a flat-faced breeding impaired dog.
Many of them are in shelters because they're too expensive to take care of.
Exactly. And so a big part of that is just how prevalent these health issues are. So as one example, pugs are 54 times more likely than other dogs to suffer from a debilitating respiratory disease called brachycephalic obstructive airway syndrome, which means that their windpipes and nasal passages are so cramped and constricted that they're constantly fighting just to get a full deep breath. And that makes it dangerous and even impossible for these dogs to do the most basic things that make a dog's life joyful and fulfilling, like playing with other dogs
and running. People. Yeah.
Exactly. Because you can't do any of those things if you can't get enough oxygen. And their bodies are so deformed with these huge heads and narrow hips that the majority of these dogs can't even give birth naturally. So 80% of French bulldogs and English bulldogs are delivered via C-section, which, you know, is part of the reason why, as you mentioned, veterinary care for these breeding impaired dogs can be astronomically expensive, which is part of the reason we see so many of them ending up in shelters.
How did they get that look? What would they look like if they didn't have that look? I mean, one woman at our park, she had two of the big bulldogs. They were delightful dogs. They drooled, but they have health issues. And then she had health issues and she was trying to get them adopted. No way. Nobody would adopt these dogs. And it's heartbreaking because I tell everybody, any dog you want, you could find at a shelter, even full breeds. What do they do to their bodies that they get that? And these are the dogs that people were stealing off the street. I don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, as you're pointing to, dogs didn't evolve to have these completely unnatural smushed-in faces with practically no snout because there's no evolutionary benefit for a dog to not have a nose and to have a totally flat face. But breeders have intentionally bred these dogs to have these deformed features, and they've sold the public on these extreme cartoonish looks, which is why we're seeing them growing more and more popular. For the last 3 years in a row, French bulldogs have been the most purchased dogs in the country, despite being some of the most chronically unhealthy, constantly suffering dogs.
What could be done? Are breeders licensed? Of course, you could have people in their basement. Oh, I like that dog. I'm going to go to the shelter. I'll get that dog. I'll get that dog. You know, it's like making a stew. But you could find all breeds at a shelter, for sure. But is there anybody who overlooks breeders? Because now we have the oodle doodles, and we don't know what's going to happen with them. A little bit of this, a little bit, and they come in all sizes. And who knows what's, you know, the biggest thing now is people do genetics on their dog. They find out what they have in them. But who really knows?
Well, I mean, breeders keep breeding these suffering dogs for the simple reason that people keep buying them. So the breeding industry is big business, and as long as there's money to be made and breeding, showing, and selling these unhealthy dogs, breeders will always try to maximize their profits, they'll continue to churn out litter after litter of unhealthy, deformed dogs, no matter how many dogs suffer and die in the process. So we really do need stronger laws that ban these practices. Some European countries like Germany, Austria, Switzerland, and the Netherlands have already banned this practice, which they actually call torture breeding because they recognize how much suffering is being inflicted on.
How do they do that? How are they able to initiate that and get it done? I mean, what do they do? Because you could, like I said, you could breed in your backyard. Who would know what you're doing? And what do these dogs look like as puppies that people may not know what they're getting? You know, there's, say, a box on the side of the road, God forbid, with all these cute little puppies. And as they grow, you start to see the deformity and, like, what is this? How do we solve this problem?
Right. Well, really, the health of the puppies is going to be determined almost entirely by the health of the parents. So when you have two unhealthy dogs, which is always going to be the case when you're breeding French bulldogs, English bulldogs, pugs, any of these dogs, you're guaranteed to produce a litter of puppies that will suffer. So here in the U.S., just last year, Ojai, California passed something called the Companion Animal Protection Ordinance, which was the first law of its kind in the U.S. that makes it illegal to breed French bulldogs, English bulldogs, pugs, and other breeding impaired dogs, because the city council recognized that these dogs will suffer emotionally and physiologically because they've been bred to have these disformed, dysfunctional bodies.
So there's other ailments they have besides the breathing, correct?
Oh, absolutely. They have something called intervertebral disc disease, which is a really painful, awful spinal condition. They have neurological issues. They have ocular issues because these flat faces make their eyes bulge. Because they've been bred to have these compressed skulls, they have more teeth than can fit into this sort of smushed-in jaw. So they have really painful dental issues. Their health is just as bad as it gets. And it's all for the sole reason of breeders breeding dogs to have cartoonish looks and then pawning them off onto unsuspecting people who really just want to live with an amazing companion, which is why we tell everyone who's looking to add a dog to their family to go visit their local shelter and fall in love with one of the many, many adoptable dogs there.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I got my dog Tilly from a shelter. I had never been to one before. You know, growing up, I had a collie and then I had a poodle and then I did cats for a zillion years. And, you know, she's a mix of maybe a boxer and a retriever, and she's got a pity attitude. But, you know, I wouldn't change one thing about her. And she's healthy. She certainly is healthy. But we get so many different dogs at our park, and a lot of them are I call them the oodle doodles. You know, they come in every size. Most of them are very sweet. You know, and of course, dogs have been interbred all through the years as far as wild dogs that you get at a shelter. When you say a mutt, that's not a purebred dog. So,
right.
So what can we do? I mean, what are the shelters doing? What is the ASPCA doing? Who is overseeing what's happening?
Really, the solution to this problem is a pretty simple one. Even less so than about oversight, it's just everyone taking responsibility to stop breeding and, most importantly, stop buying, which is the thing that more people are doing,
right?
These breeding impaired dogs or any dogs. Because purebred dogs are inbred dogs, you know, they're all coming from this very small gene pool. And as a result, they're plagued by these lifelong congenital painful health issues. So everyone who is looking for a dog should go visit their local shelter. And we're asking people who already have a breathing impaired dog to commit to making that dog's life as fulfilling and healthy as possible, being really vigilant to make sure that, you know, if their breathing issues are getting any worse than they already are, which is already a pretty bad state of health, to make sure that they're going to regular veterinary visits to make sure that their dog is getting the care that they need.
What is the lifespan of these dogs?
So lifespans vary. Studies have found that French bulldogs' lifespan is as low as 4.5 years.
Oh my God.
But something that's so disturbing and upsetting about a lot of these breeding impaired dogs is even the ones who live longer lives, 10, 11 years, they're spending every day of those 10 and 11 years struggling to breed. That's why we all heard French bulldogs, English bulldogs, and pugs make these snorting, wheezing, gasping sounds. So it's really no way to live. I mean, for these dogs, just breathing through their nose is like trying to suck in air through a tiny straw. So whether they live 5 years or 10 years, no dog should have to spend years and years of their life struggling just to breathe.
I guess there must be some veterinarians that are specialized in this because, you know, the vet care must be astronomical.
Absolutely. And there is no one who is, you know, sounding the alarm on this issue more than the veterinarians who are treating these dogs and the people who have lived with breathing impaired dogs and have seen up close every day how much these dogs suffer, how much of their existence is a struggle just to get oxygen into their lungs.
So what they do is they just pant.
Absolutely. They pant, they rasp, they wheeze. I mean, I've heard vets describe it as closing your mouth, clamping your nostrils shut, and then trying to get a breath through. That's the closest we can come to imagining what it's like to try to get air through these cramped, distorted airways.
It's very, very sad. I'm glad that you're bringing a spotlight on it because we all see them and we know that they're just, you know, they can't run really fast because people take them to the parks, but it's mostly just to socialize them and get them out. I love all animals, but they really are very strange looking.
Right. And we want to let dogs be dogs. But, you know, when people breed dogs to have these totally dysfunctional, extreme features, it makes it impossible for them to live the lives that they want to live and the lives they deserve. Because if they can't breathe properly, it's hard to do much of anything.
Well, I'm glad that, you know, you came on. For our listeners, if you have one of these dogs, you have to be committed to taking care of them forever, no matter what they need. And we all have to start spreading the word. At our park, we always chastise people who buy dogs. Most of the full-bred dogs that I see, they have been lucky to get them at a shelter for a pittance. But years ago, people were breeding dogs like poodles and collies. And then somewhere along the line, things broke down. And, you know, you got some wacko who wants a little bit of this and a little bit of that. For what? For their purse. They want to carry them in their pocketbook. Crazy.
Right. Absolutely. And I mean, as you mentioned, we have the holidays approaching. So it's really a great time when people are seeing their friends, their family members, neighbors, you know, anyone who they haven't seen in a while. It's a great time to spread the message that these dogs really need our help. They're spending every day of their lives struggling to breathe. And the best thing we can do to help them is to never buy these flat-faced, breathing-impaired dogs.
Yeah, but how long will that take for it to end then, you know? And what will happen to the ones that nobody's buying? And then they're left with the wackos who created them. That's another thing we'd have to worry about. It really is very, I mean, the most wonderful animals on earth and the way we treat them is just so, so very, very sad. You know?
Absolutely. That's why we can't emphasize enough. The adopt, don't shop message is as important as ever because there are tens of millions of dogs and cats in shelters around the country who need a loving home. So anyone who has the time and patience and resources to adopt an animal, the last thing anyone should ever do is buy an animal from a breeder or a pet store. They're really fueling this crisis. And these breeders are the ones sentencing these dogs to a lifetime of suffering.
Well, we did get rid of, you know, the puppy mills as far as puppy stores. So that at least has stopped. You really can't go into a store anymore and buy a puppy.
We're certainly making progress. And I think that's in part because, you know, this is something that most people agree on. They recognize that dogs are living, feeling beings with unique personalities. They have things that they care about. They have relationships, you know, with other dogs and with the humans that they live with. And we can't be treating them as disposable merchandise that can be customized to our liking or just pawned off in the front window of a store.
Right, right. Yeah. I'm glad that you came on and it's good before the holidays because people do get together and, you know, maybe somebody has lost a pet and, you know, they want to bring a pet home for the holidays. They've also been pushing fostering dogs for the holidays. And, you know, 55 to 60% of fosters are failures and people end up adopting them. So that would be a good thing. But I appreciate you coming on and enlightening us.
Thank you, Cheryl. It's really been a wonderful conversation, and I hope you have a great end of 2025 and a nice holiday season.
A happy and a healthy new year, and, you know, let's go PETA.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. And I want to thank Mark. I want to thank Tilly for making me a dog owner again. Live life unleashed. Bye, everybody. See you next time.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.